Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Dan Campbell says we were punched in the mouth, and it's exactly what we needed. We've been talking about the football side of all of this. John says, what about the life side of it? A lot of our listeners have probably gotten punched in the face, metaphorically.
Yep.
Maybe literally, too. But we're looking about the time in life where you got kicked and how you responded. 248-539-9797. The Lions have Dan Campbell, and we talked about this yesterday. He's going to drag them as far as they possibly can go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not a Super Bowl. Maybe it's not in the cards because of all the injuries, but they're going to be in the fight, and he's going to drag them as far as they possibly can.
Yeah, and one of the things we always hear, is, and it happens every time Dan comes on Tuesdays. Boy, I need Dan as a life coach. He is as good as you're going to find in regards to motivation. So you know that this team is going to respond, and that's part of why when you look at their track record, they haven't lost back-to-back games in over 2 years. They do find a way to respond. Now, you never want to have to respond, but it's the NFL. It's a 17-game season. When we said 14-3 at the beginning of the year, and I know you were at 12-5, and like you know that there's going to be moments where you're going to have to get back up. You're going to have to respond to a loss, to injuries, to you know anything that would happen that would be an obstacle in your path.
Yeah, in a perfect world, you'd never lose a football game. In a perfect world, you'd never lose your job. In a perfect game, in a perfect world, you'd never have a bad game and fear that you're going to get benched, John. And by the way, I wanted to follow up on that story. If that had happened today, with the portal,
I mean, certainly, I would have thought of I'm going to have to enter the portal. I didn't think there was any chance I was ever going to see the field again.
Yeah,
and you know, part of that is it's unrealistic of a 19-year-old and not understanding coaching and progress and all of these different things. And I understand so much more now, but at the time I thought it was done.
It's a crossroads.
Yeah,
it was.
Heather, have you ever had a moment?
I think everyone has had a moment, right? Yeah. Where you're punched in the mouth, whether it's in your working life, you know, you lose a job, you didn't get this gig, you thought you nailed this audition or whatever it is, or maybe relationships.
Sure.
You think this relationship is going great. And then all of a sudden, whoa, it's not. And there's a breakup. Or whatever it is, I have some. Mine are a lot, the things that come to my head are a lot deeper, and I don't know if I want to divulge all of them. The things that I'm instantly thinking of, I think, you know, my freshman year in college was probably the worst year of my life for many reasons. And ultimately, you know, my parents, Colin was there, got out of, like, I transferred to Michigan State, dealt with a lot of other personal things going on and got my life back on
track.
A good track. I mean, I'm not going into a lot of details, but it was that I think my freshman year in college was probably,
the punch in the mouth.
Well, you learn a lot about yourself through that stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
I mean, I think we all did with the adversities that we've all brought up. I mean, you're tested.
And I mean, there are other times where, I mean, we started off a year 0-5 when I was in Washington. Marty Schottenheimer was our coach. And I've always kind of referred to him as... Somebody asked me on Twitter yesterday, like, have I ever played for a coach like Dan Campbell? And for me, it was Marty Schottenheimer, who was at the pro level as even-keeled as you could get as a coach. And he was genuine. Like, he was going to tell you exactly where you stood, what you were doing. And the thing that pulled us out of that, because we ended up finishing the season 8-8, and actually, we played the last game in Three Rivers. Had we won that one, would have made the playoffs. But he was so consistent with what his message to us, and it was the message to the fans too, and it probably was what ultimately the owner fired him for, because it wasn't fire and brimstone. It was always stay the course, do the work, follow the process. And when we finally got our first win against Carolina, LeVar Arrington had a big sack fumble, or might even have been an interception. We returned it for a touchdown. And it's what really turned it for us. But we all have talked about, you know, what it was. And even Dan called a couple of years ago when we were talking. He's like, what was it that year that really pulled you guys out of it? And, you know, I shared some of my experiences with him And it was, and I told him it was really just the leadership of Marty that was so consistent. And, you know, follow the process, trust yourself, trust the work, and we are going to find a way to dig ourselves out of this.
So we have the football of it all, and we have the life question as well. 248-539-9797. Ticket texter says, divorce. Yep. Bounce back. Mm-hmm. Happiest I've ever been. I had 3 to 4 close friends. They were my collective Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Picking me up when I was down.
Yeah. I got one of those as well. The details are still too a little bit raw to share. But yeah, it's really hard to dig out of.
I got punched in the mouth after predicting the Lions would go 10-7 and saying love is better than golf. Jeff in Canton. Some levity. Let's get to Scott in Rochester. Scott, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Great show. Really appreciate the work. So, hey, here's a shocker. I'm going to go Lions at number one. Okay. And there's a caveat behind that. So if you think about that game, like, our offense was brilliant. We went toe-to-toe with the undisputed MVP in the NFL this year. And that offense went toe-to-toe and kept them in the game. But here's the thing. For the Lions to win the Super Bowl, Dan Campbell can't make any tactical errors. And if you think about that onside kick with 12 minutes left, right, like, that was just too much risk at that point in the game. And here's the thing. Dan Campbell always says, hey, I trust my guys. I trust my guys. What I'm doing as the coach, I'm walking over to my defense and I'm saying, one player, one play right now. And I'm kicking the ball and I'm giving it to Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. I don't care who the quarterback is. And I'm going to trust my defense to win the game in that moment. So that's how I'm thinking about that game. But if Campbell keeps us in the games, doesn't make any tactical errors, I still think the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Okay, so a lot to unpack there. Campbell said to us yesterday that not only did he have no regrets about kicking that onside kick, he felt he should have done it a second time 4 minutes later. So, and Scott, I think maybe the difference here is he had trusted the defense for 3 quarters and they gave up 38 points. Like, the tactical decision was, I got to keep the ball away from Josh Allen. Even if it's only an 8 to 10% chance on the onside recovery, I need to steal a possession, maybe even two. I actually don't think they lost that game because of any Dan Campbell tactical errors. They lost the game because Buffalo's better than them. That's why we all have Buffalo as the number one team in the NFL. It doesn't mean the Lions couldn't win a rematch, but the Buffalo Bills were the better team. We watched the game, we kept score, and the Lions were playing catch up the entire time in their own home. I can't agree with putting the Lions number one.
Well, and Scott, when you said that the offense was damn near perfect, they weren't. They could not run the ball.
Hello?
Yeah, still here. So, hey, you know, the one thing I look at is the point, right? Like, yeah, we were slow out of the gate, and Buffalo got up on us by a couple of touchdowns. But, you know, we came back, and it was on the back of the offense that kept that game as close as it was. I mean, if you think about how the defense played.
Well, then, Scott, I agree with you.
Few quarters, Scott,
not to cut you off, but I agree with you. The offense was the only thing keeping him in the game, which is why Dan did the onside kick.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're kind of contradicting yourself a little bit here. If the offense is the only way they had a chance, then Dan's right to go with an onside kick, right?
Well, think about it this way, though, right? Like, if Josh Allen is the MVP and their offense is, what, number one, we're number two, it might be flipped in terms of best offenses in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think we're toe-to-toe there. But I think to give Josh Allen and the number one or number two offense the football and half the field, right, you're just increasing the probability that they're going to score again. Like, you're stacking the odds against your defense. Yeah. Who's already having a hard time stopping them? Why not give them 80 yards to stop instead of 45?
Because it felt inevitable, and I think the goal was to hold them to a field goal sooner, right? Like, if they're going to march up and down the field, and they did later in the fourth quarter, they went like on a 6-minute drive and settled for a field goal. You'd rather them start the ball at midfield, hold them to a field goal, get the ball back, and start to play shootout possession football, where instead of two or three possessions in the fourth, you want four or five possessions, and you want to hold them to a couple field goals and steal one on an onside kick. It's a low percentage. You're down multiple scores in the fourth quarter. I mean, you're not, and that's my point. When you say toe-to-toe, I disagree with this idea that Detroit was toe-to-toe on Sunday. They were playing from behind the entire way in that football game. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I just look at the final score, 42 points. Can we be honest? There was a little bit of the Pat Stafford thing where, like, hey, the game's over and you got to throw against a prevent defense. You got to throw it every single play. Yeah, you stacked yards, but a lot of it was in vain, down two scores, not actually in the football game.
Yeah.
So we did ask people, where are the Lions in your hierarchy? John's Power Surge had them number two.
Mm-hmm.
Tom had them three. I had them four. We'll take those phone calls. Plus, obviously, the life stuff. We got callers on hold that want to talk about the moment that they got punched in the mouth and their Dan Campbell moments. It's 97.1.
Hey, it's wintry driving season, and I just got the alert. There's going to be some snow here in just a little bit. There's reckless drivers everywhere. They can't seem to keep their own cars under control. If you get injured in an auto accident during this or any time of the year, you need an injury attorney that's going to be responsive to your needs and aggressive against the insurance companies. The injury attorney that you need to hire is David Femininio. You can pick up the phone right now and speak to David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
The power surge this week saw the Lions drop from number one all the way down
to number two.
Where would you rank them? I said four. Tom said three. And then we have like a deeper life question. And I know we're going to get some dark answers here, but the point is there's light at the end of the tunnel. Dan Campbell talked about the Lions getting punched in the mouth. And John, you asked people,
when'd you get punched in the mouth? Metaphorically. And I mentioned, you know, my first start at Michigan did not go well. Thought it was the end of the line for me. And Mike DeBoard, our offensive line coach at the time, in the future would have been our offensive coordinator, he was my Dan Campbell. He was the one that would just refuse to let me wallow around.
I talked about losing a job right before the holiday, having to start over, move, not knowing how that was going to go, the uncertainty. People who've lost a job can relate to that. We've had people reference divorce.
Oh, yeah.
I mean... There's a lot of things you could bring up here, and we're going to do that. 248-539-9797. Before the hour's done, I am completely in the dark on this.
Oh, yeah. 950. Make sure you are tuned in, because I've got something for cookies. A little Christmas present. See what this is. I've been kind of sitting on this one for some time. So
Heather, do you know what it is?
I know of it, yes. I have not seen it, but I do know.
You know of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it a, should I not ask questions?
No, don't ask questions. Okay. It's just best to be, you know, surprised.
Okay, I'll be surprised at 9:50. Let's get to the phones. Alex in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. I was kind of have a little different opinion. I think the Lions could be in a good spot moving forward. I don't think it's a coincidence both our losses are at home this year. I think we kind of get a little complacent with the home advantage. And last time we lost, we won 11 in a row. And I think just that underdog mentality is exactly what Dan Campbell preaches. And having Penei Sewell on the team, I think just listening to him and Dan Campbell once gets you ready to run through a wall. So I think with the underdog mentality and everyone thinking, you know, Lions are beat up and hurt, you know, they want, you know, come and get a piece of them. I think we can really actually make some noise still.
So you think you got them right where you want them?
Almost, kind of like the reverse psychology where they think we're out of it already with 22 guys on the IR, and then we come in, and then, you know, either way, we still want to run the ball and can throw the ball with Jared Goff and Ben Johnson calling the plays, and I think, you know, we could be actually in a good spot moving forward.
It's funny.
As long as we get the number one seed.
Yeah, well, that's so important because, you know, the whole Road Warriors thing, having to do that three straight weeks to get to the Super Bowl, no bye week with all the injuries mounting. You got to grab that one seed. I'd still expect them to get the one seed, but then the work really clicks in when you got to face an Eagles team potentially in an NFC title game or a Super Bowl against Allen or Mahomes or Lamar. But it's funny, what he just said, I had shared with me this week too. A friend that's a Lions season ticket holder said, we're the underdogs now. This like weird, like kind of like last year where we can, you know, the chip on the shoulder, no one expects it. It's tough. I can't fully take expectations away.
Yeah, but the difference is, though, like last year you could make the case that they kind of snuck up on some teams. You're not sneak up on anybody now.
Nope. Let's get to Lenny and Fenton. Lenny, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys, and Heather.
Good morning.
I put the Lions first, and I'm not going back on them. I don't care if they lost for the Bills. Doesn't matter to me. I became a Lions fan 4 years ago. Diehard Redskin fan, John.
Oh, there you go.
He's in there. My brother's actually built the stadium, the new stadium they're in. But let's get to life's
yeah.
What life's punch in the mouth. So I served in the Army for 15 years as an active duty military police officer. Went to Germany from 1990 to 94, went to Desert Storm 91, came back from Desert Storm. My platoon sergeant, Sergeant First Class Kenneth Washington in South Carolina, came up to me and said, look, we want you to become a member of this elite leadership course in Germany called Sergeant Morales Club. Well, it just so happened my arch nemesis, rival, the guy that I thought I was better than in a different platoon, just went to the club and got selected. So here I am. I've got more time in grade, more time in service. I think I'm a better leader. They let this guy go first. He gets it. Now you want me to do it. Well, I bucked at it. I didn't want to do it. So then Sergeant Washington pulls me aside in the office and just starts to let me have it up and down with, you know, words that I can't say on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's not about him. It's about you. Mm. We think you're good enough to go. So we want to put you in. Make a longer story short, I did go to the board. I did get selected to the Sergeant Morales Club. Shortly after that, got promoted to platoon sergeant. Shortly after that, got promoted to Sergeant First Class. If that man didn't change my mindset of where I was, I would never have been where I was in the military.
He was your Dan Campbell.
Story,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Then the story, in 2019, we had a Desert Storm reunion in New Orleans, and I met my arch rival there again, and I told him what I had done and what I had thought, and I apologized to him because I was only, you know, hating my brother. But
maturity, it's growth. Yeah.
Absolutely. Great military career, came stateside and became a member of the Sergeant Audie Murphy Club stateside. And I owe it all to Sergeant Washington, my Dan Campbell.
Well, thank you for your service, and it's a good story.
Yeah. Always need somebody to keep your eyes open.
Matt in Oxford, let's get your story in here. You're on 97.1.
Matthew.
Matthew.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey,
how you doing?
I graduated from Oxford. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Good. I'm doing good. Hey, I'm calling from Missouri. But I graduated from Oxford, Michigan High School in 1991. 7 years later, I was addicted to painkillers, which turned into a heroin habit, which turned into something I couldn't afford, which turned into crime. When I was 25, I was sentenced to 6 to 20 years in prison.
Whoa.
And I ended up in Jackson quarantine, not wanting to live anymore. And to make a long story short, I was sent to Newberry, Michigan, up in Tequamanon Falls, and a counselor up there said, Matt, you're heading in the wrong direction. You know, I'm not going to let you give up. And she helped me, sent me to Marquette Prison. And to make a long story short, I finished the 6 years and paroled, finished parole. Right after I got out of prison, I got one of my daughters back, had two more children. Two of my children graduated from college, one from Western Michigan, one from Oakland University, and my youngest son is still doing his thing. But that counselor, I'd almost given up. I didn't see light at the end of the tunnel because I could have done 20 years. But she was my Dan Campbell. She helped me see you still have a lot to live for. Even if you get out when you're 35 or whenever, she said your children are still going to be there. And it was a tough, tough pill to swallow, but I did it. And I finished parole, and I had two more children, and I'm 52 now. And my kids are all doing great, and every day is a struggle, but I get up and I keep on going, and I won't give up.
Were you able to ever reconnect with her once you got out?
I was not. No. I was getting in trouble in prison, and I didn't care anymore. And she pulled me aside and said, "Matt," she said, "I know where you grew up." She said, "You seem like a really good kid. I'm not letting you do this." And she rode me out of the prison that I was in and up to Marquette Max. And then I met two other officers up there that grabbed a hold of me, two older men. And those three people changed my outlook on everything. And it turned into an awesome story. My children are the blessing of my life. And I'm doing good now. And it's just been awesome.
Hey, congratulations. Thanks. Keep fighting it.
Thank you.
Yep. Appreciate it, Matthew. 248-539-9797. We obviously have some stories we can get to on the phones and the ticket text. We'll get to Heather's news this hour. And yes, John has...
got a surprise for you.
Presentation. Yeah. I can't wait. I think it's a good thing. I'm hoping it's a good thing.
Yes. I think you will enjoy it.
I don't know if this is like some sort of like first year on the show, like hazing thing, or it's a gift for the holidays. I don't know what to expect.
It's definitely not a hazing.
No.
It's just something that I think you'll appreciate.
Okay, it's 97.1.
Mm-hmm. About you.
Some Lions fans have been feeling blue. Mm-hmm. Maybe less so after Dan Campbell yesterday. The speech that went viral from our show. John's got the big smile on his face like you're back in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
I'm nodding my head like, this guy's doing it right now. He's rallying the troops. And we've mixed that in. And I brought up this question from a Lions fan, a season ticket holder in my life, who said, you know, in a weird way, now we can be the underdogs. There's some pressure off of us because of the injuries. We're no longer the prohibitive favorite. It's not, you can never truly underdogs because they could still have the one seed and come on, they're still a Super Bowl contender, maybe not the favorite, but a contender. And we asked that question, are you buying that now in some weird Lions spin zone way, this is actually a good thing because now you can be the hunter instead of the hunted again. We've brought up where the Lions stack up in the NFL, the power rankings, the power surge. John had them 2, Tom had them 3, I had them 4. Where would you put the Lions? Dan Campbell's speech also gave us a life note.
Mm-hmm.
When he said you got to get punched in the mouth and it's the best thing for us. John, you've asked people about times they got punched in the mouth and how they've rallied and overcome. And we've gotten some deep stories.
Yeah, shared ours. We've had a lot of people share theirs. We got some more on the line waiting to tell theirs.
Ken on a cell, you're on 97.1. Ken, what's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I think that people such as Dan Campbell, are you there?
Yeah, sorry
about that. Wrong button.
Okay. People such as Dan Campbell and myself, to a certain extent, are born with the drive to be successful. But you have to learn from your life lessons. In my case, my dad was my Dan Campbell. I was rebellious as a youngster because I watched him go to his job at General Motors very early in the morning. Sometimes not even come home and go straight to a second job. And he'd work till 11 o'clock at night and get up at 4 or 5 and he's gone again. But when I finally realized that he made a commitment to the family, I learned from his hard work and drive, and so I ended up with a successful banking career at the local bank there. I started out with a low level position, worked my way up to assistant vice president, left there in '95 to run my own business. That became successful. We're building about 30 to 50 homes a year and rebuilding housing at various military bases around the country. And that lasted about 6 years. The economy went downhill in early 2000.
Yeah.
And over a 3 to 4 year period, lost everything. Now I'm 50 years old. you know, I mean, literally everything. I had little, sold what little was left and decided that I was going to pack what I had in a van, move to Florida, not knowing what I was going to do. I met a gentleman that was interested in my life experience and my business background, and I didn't know why. Well, that's because he had something in mind for me. I ended up with a new company in the medical field, still operates in Florida and Las Vegas, many employees. Nearing retirement, I sold Florida and will sell the Vegas operation in 2025, and it just could not have worked out better. And I really believe it was instilled in me as a young man. I mean, I'd be the guy out there early in the morning to learn from my dad, doing the paperwork, and when I got done, I'd go sweep the parking lots at the local businesses and do whatever I could to make an extra couple bucks. So, there's nothing wrong with hard work.
Nope, there is absolutely never anything wrong with hard work and a good day's work.
Let's get to Jen in Southfield. Jen, you're on 97.1.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hey. Good morning. I just wanted to talk about grit. You never know you've got it unless you're tested, and I just wanted to tell my story really quickly because every time I hear that word, I think of what I've gone through. So it's been 10 years now on December 7th that my husband passed away, and it was unexpected, but it was after a year of losses. So starting in January of 2014, my husband and I, in the course of 11 months, we had each lost two jobs, which were unprecedented in our lives. So that year just kept knocking me down. We had lost jobs. We lost health insurance. We emptied our savings. By the time he died, we had emptied our savings, 401k. We lived through that stupid flood in Royal Oak. Sewer flood. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any insurance to cover that. And I just kept thinking to myself all year, what is going on? You know, I just keep getting knocked down. But I kept getting back up. I kept getting back up and going because we had a 15-year-old or 14-year-old at the time. And I'm like, I have to keep life normal for him. You know, so, you know, it's like most moms, parents. So, but when Steve died, I was just like, the wind was knocked out of me. Like, how do I get back up from here? But friends rallied, the community rallied, you know, the police officers that came to our home that morning rallied. I recognized one of them from my son's school. But in any event, 10 years later, you know, I just came back. I really did. I came back. I've never run before, but I trained for a half marathon and I ran it. I wrote a book on grief and self-published it. It was just how I healed. I got a golden retriever for us. You know, I did everything I could to help my son. Really, that's what it's all about. It's a comeback story, and I didn't know I was going to be living it. But, you know, it's kind of what I see in the Lions. And now I look for silver linings. I look for silver lining. And every time, you know, my boyfriend is like, oh, I don't know if the Lions can do it. I don't know. There's too many, you know, injuries. And I'm like, nope, they can do it. Of course they can do it. They're going to come back. So, I don't know. I just look at my story and I'm like, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, I mean, sports feel kind of trivial in comparison, but you can connect to it. Like, it
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
thanks, Jen.
Thank you for sharing the story.
Yep. Go Lions. They're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think so as well. We just bring along Jim Costa with us.
Yeah, I want to be there with you guys. I want to be there celebrating that Super Bowl in New Orleans. One step at a time, John. One step at a time. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Here's a nice story, you guys. A Canton woman was reunited with her emotional support python after her emotional support python.
Like the snake?
That's what a python is, yes.
How many other pythons are there?
Well, you got one here and you got one here.
Oh, jeez.
Walked right into that one.
Well, it went missing after she got into a car accident. So this woman, Jessica Wells, she was coming home from Western Michigan University where she goes to school. She's coming home for the holidays, lost control during some icy weather on I-94. And during her crash, her pet python was in the passenger seat in, you know, an aquarium or, you know, whatever it's in.
Whatever enclosure,
and that smashed due to the crash and the python got away, right? So once she realized, okay, I'm okay, right? Like, I'm not hurt. Oh my gosh, where's the python?
Yeah.
Couldn't find it. The firefighters that arrived on the scene, she told them about her pet as well. They searched, no luck. Well, thankfully, the
tow truck driver.
Tow truck driver that arrived at the scene heard also about the python, and they took the car to a heated garage, and they searched, got more people to search, and they ended up finding the python, had to take out the second row of seats, got the python out. They thought it was a goner. It was cold, not moving, but lo and behold, they took it to the vet. And the python lives to tell the story.
It lives.
And Jessica has her emotional support pet.
Hey, those
back
on Twitch want to know if you're going to sell tickets to the gun show.
Oh, yeah, sure. Get in line.
Dan Gilbert's real estate firm plans to build a large medical and research building in downtown Detroit at that site of the former failed Wayne County Jail project. Mm. So it was announced on Tuesday that Bedrock anticipates starting construction next year on this 220,000 square foot life science innovation building, and it's going to have multiple floors and house several different organizations, different health care systems that, you know, treat cancer and conduct cancer research. And the plan, at least for some of those, is to open having patients there by late 2027.
That'd be awesome.
Well, good. You got to do something with that space.
Yeah. So that's great news. Online sports betting and gambling set a new Michigan record in November.
Ooh.
So sports bettors in the state of Michigan placed $650.2 million on sporting events in November of this year.
You know, you can trace that to
Michigan winning.
Maybe. I was going to say, Heather started picking games and handing out winners, so people are like, you know what?
Yeah, uh-huh. Hey, we're listening
exactly
in the morning.
Yep. You know, I was thinking about all of our picks and such and thinking maybe we should introduce a trophy.
Oh, now that you're winning, you want to introduce a trophy?
You're such a front runner. That is disgusting.
I don't know. I thought maybe we want to think about that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll be in charge of the trophy this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you're going to get a gem.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hopefully you hold on.
Awesome. Aaron Rodgers, his new Netflix docuseries is out, and in it, he opens up a little bit about his strained relationship with his family. So he kind of goes on to say that, you know, he has kept his family life or always tried to keep his family life private, right? Didn't want it out in the public, but never really got along with all of his family, but he wanted to keep that just to him and his family. But of course, things started to get more public when his brother, Jordan, went on The Bachelorette. And some drama there was brought up. You know, they do the whole, like, let's meet the family.
Oh, yeah.
And they sit down at the big family table, and there's two seats empty.
Right.
One for Aaron and one for whoever he was dating at the time. I think it was Olivia Munn, should have been sitting there in the seat. And everything got brought up and brought to air there on The Bachelorette. So he discussed that a little bit. He does say, though, that there is some hope for, you know, reconciliation between him and his family. But he says, you know what, I don't wish them
ill will.
Of course, but they're just at different steps in their journey, I think is what he said. So
I don't plan on watching a minute of that.
No.
I have watched a minute of it. Colin had it on last night.
A single minute?
Yeah, probably. Like I did. Yeah. I looked at it. There was one where he was at the retreat, that darkness retreat.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw like a minute of that.
Yeah. Wasn't too dark.
It wasn't, because I could see him pretty well. I'm guessing it got darker for him later on when he decided to turn off the camera, right?
Yeah.
Here's some more news. Most U.S. teens aren't drinking alcohol or smoking pot.
Oh, good.
Or consuming marijuana in other ways. About two-thirds of 12th graders this year said that they hadn't used alcohol, marijuana, cigarettes, or e-cigs in the previous 30 days. So not long, but okay.
Yeah.
But it gets more the younger 10th graders. 80% said they hadn't used any of those substances recently. 8th graders, 90% didn't use them. So the younger.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bunch of nerds.
Come on.
I'm just kidding.
Have a sip. No. Peer pressure.
We're not condoning any of that behavior.
No.
But why do they think that's happening?
They're not sure yet why or if this is actually any significant data. The only thing they did see an increase in is the use of nicotine pouches.
Oh, okay.
Patches or pouches? Like the
I think
dip?
They're pouches, right? They're like dip, but not dip. But they're dip, they're but dip, they're not like...
Yeah, it's not loose dip. It's all pouches.
It's in a pouch. Yeah. So yes, it is.
Very well described, yes.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, John has a presentation for me. It's 97.1.
outside is frightful, and the fire is so delightful.
So as you look at the calendar, great singing, John. This is the last show you and I are doing this year.
Yes, it is. Yes, we hear Doug Gator all the time. It's like they get to the 1st of December and they just never do a show together. One of them is out every single week. I'm going to be in next week. I'm off the next couple of days because we are moving. And I will be in next week and you will be off the week of New Year's. No, wait.
The other way around.
Yeah.
I'll be in the week of New Year's. Right,
yeah, that would make me in both weeks.
Yes.
Yes. I'll be in next week and I'll be off. Yeah. And I'll be obviously down at the bowl game. So I do have of something that I've been holding on to for about 4 months or so.
4 months?
Yes, I was thinking about you long ago about what we're going to do for Christmas. And it's funny that Stoney would be in here today because Stoney is, I think, one of the great gift givers. Not every year are you able to get or find, or is there even a perfect gift required? And so this year, having you new on the show, I think things have gone well. I've enjoyed doing the show with you. And there have been some moments on the show that have provided some levity and also some bits on the show. This one, and you will start to understand this gift a little bit more when you hear this drop. What's Bronner's? So my wife and I go up there usually once a year, sometimes in the summer, and I wanted to let you know what you've missed out on. So for those on Twitch right now, you can see that I got Cookies a stocking.
Oh, wow. Look at this.
Uh-huh. And so I'm going to hand this to you. You can describe it to everybody else.
This is awesome. There's stuff in the stocking, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, there's stuff in the stocking. So
it's a cat stocking. It says Cookies. And then there's a cat. It says Mew, M-E-W. Oh, Emmy. Oh, my God. That's a Stoney moment. Meow. Oh,
I didn't think the whole Bronner thing could get any better.
God, I'm an idiot. But
it did. Greg, stupid. Please save that one for us, which I'm sure you will.
It says M-E-O-W. The O has the cat. I'm an idiot. It says meow.
It says mew. Do you own a cat? Are you from the state of Michigan?
I'm a dumbass.
It says mew.
And there's a t-shirt with it. I'm just going to move on. Bronner's. Christmas Wonderland.
Uh-huh. We got you a little Bronner's souvenir there.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Make an idiot of myself. But this was so nice. Thank you.
What is Bronner's followed by? It says Mew.
Can we go back and dump that? Can we? I didn't say that on the air, did I? Oh, God. This is very nice. Now I feel bad I didn't get you anything.
Oh, no. The Christmas presents, they don't always have to be a two-way street. This is something that was unique to this year, to the show.
It's very cute.
And I thought that you might like the cat stocking. And they do engraving, so I had your nickname engraved on there.
Yeah, Cookies.
Cookies.
This is awesome.
Uh-huh. Is the cat kind of actually looks like a little bit of a chocolate chip cookie as well.
It kind
of
does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Which kind of emphasizes the O in meow.
In mew. There, it says mew.
What sound does a cat make? Mew. Mew.
I can't believe that. I just got to ask you one question at this point.
Please don't.
What sound
do you? You are, how old are you? 31.
I'll be 32 in January.
Boy, okay. Teddy.
So
is,
let's just basically say it's you're 32 right now.
Oh, no.
Do you have about 33 years in you to do Detroit's talk radio?
I would like
because
to
because
yeah.
You are rivaling the guy that you replaced.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just walked into the studio.
Stoney, can you tell me what this says?
It says Malachi. It
says Cookies.
No, I know, but then... just read the rest. What does the stocking say?
Meow.
Okay, thank you.
Was that supposed to be hieroglyphics?
No, you did it correctly.
No, you passed the test. Doug, Cookies what, did not. That, he that, didn't see the O, and he pronounced it as, oh, it says Mew.
There's something about sitting in that chair, I guess, that does something to people's minds.
It's the way he said it. Oh, it says
it
Mew.
It says Mew. Yeah.
I got to tell you, one of my favorite stories a listener once told me about the holidays.
Yeah.
He said when he was a kid, they set up a nativity scene, uh-huh. And there was the word, block letters, Noel. And his brother used to rearrange the letters. So behind the nativity scene, it said Leon.
Oh, that's great.
And every single time I think of that, I think of it every Christmas, whenever I see the word Noel.
Leon.
I can't stop but laugh. Oh. I just can't do anything but laugh. And Mew is part of, like, I can see this.
I think that was the perfect way for us to finish our final show together this year.